All right. Well, we're going to be in Amos chapter 7. Again, Fitzpatrick, thanks for being with us tonight. We're glad to have you here. Amos chapter 7, and we are journeying through this minor prophet here. Again, when we say minor prophet, we don't mean that he's of less significance. We mean that his book is shorter. All right. And so it's the word of God, so it's just as important as Isaiah or Jeremiah, just a smaller book. Also, I would have you, I'm not going to say a lot about them because they were just here in March, but the Hidalgo family to Scotland, Javier and Tiffany, are on the back of your prayer list. Be praying for all of our missionary families, but as we've had missionaries coming in these last several weeks and then our missions conference coming up, hopefully that's in your mind anyway, but pray for them as they're on deputation and continue to raise support for Scotland and that dark place that is Scotland these days with lack of Bible-believing churches. So pray for that young family that God would get them to the field sooner than later and that they'd be able to preach Jesus there, amen, the real gospel. So praise the Lord. Amos chapter 7, verse 1. God has given two visions to Amos. He's given him, number one, the vision of grasshoppers. These are young grasshoppers. It could be rendered locusts. And so they are crop eaters, okay? They're crop-eating insects. And as Joel saw these locusts, this plague, this vision that Amos will see as well here, are visions of judgments to come upon Israel. Secondly, we see this vision of fire, and this is a scorching drought that will go through the land, that will burn up the crop, will burn up basically the rest of what's there. And Amos here, we're going to see some important things here in the Word of God. We're only going to look at six verses this afternoon. They are this evening, and they are sort of redundant, but there's a purpose behind them as we look through our Bibles today. So Amos chapter 7, verse 1, we see, "Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. And it came to pass, when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise, for he is small." Simply, how shall Jacob stand? And he's speaking specifically, how shall he stand against the Assyrian army, who's great in power and size? Verse 3 says, "The Lord repented for this, it shall not be, saith the Lord." Well, even though there's only three verses, that's a mouthful. One thing that's really interesting to see about all of God's prophecy, and I'm going to give you this because I think it's important for our day here, and you can use this against folks in your families or friend lines that believe that they have visions of prophecies or something like this. Notice that in all of these prophecies that the Lord gives, that they're both seen and heard. That Amos is not only seeing something that's yet to happen, but he's also hearing the Lord in a different way than you and I hear him. And so today we know that the sign gifts, these miraculous things that happened in biblical times, no longer occur because the Bible says with the apostles they ceased because that which is perfect has come, which is the word of God. And so this is the only revelation of God's word to man currently. This is it. This is what we get, and that's all we need. And so you'll have those folks who try to say that, well, this is going to happen, but they say, why? And they say, because the Spirit's moving in me. If they haven't seen it, think about the Revelation, the book of Revelation. John, the Revelator, he not only saw in 90 AD things that have still yet to happen, but he also heard. When he was in the throne room, when God called him, he said, "I heard a voice that said, come up hither." So he saw and he heard. Today we have those folks who would try to resurrect a body of the dead, and they haven't seen or heard anything. They're just trying to do something in their own power because they think that that's going to get them a bigger following. And unfortunately, it does a lot of times because people are drawn to that. But you don't be fooled by that. You know that the prophet said, "He has shown these things to me, and I've heard these things." I thought that was important to share this evening. But here we see that these grasshoppers or locusts are coming up. And the growth in the fields that were there after the harvest were leaving behind some just stumpy grass things. We see what's going on down here at the end of East Trotwood Boulevard here in just a couple of months. That's going to be taken and harvested. and there's going to be some remnant there, and that's what's left for the sheep to pasture on, or for the herd to be pastured on. Here God's saying he's going to destroy, and all that's going to be left is little remnants, little pockets of grass, and it would cause starvation to the children of Israel because of their mighty sins. And so Amos has seen this, and he sees that the herd is out there, and that until the summer drought has stopped, all the growth is going to be destroyed. And you see this king's mowings, that's the early crop that the royals would take in for taxes. That's the early part, the first fruits, if you will. But in verse 2, Amos asked the Lord to forgive the nations of sin. I want you to notice a couple of things here. He asked that this stops the starvation of Jacob here, that there would be something remaining that would end. Most likely it's a parable of the preliminary attacks of the Assyrians coming, not the full conquest, but part. But what's really interesting about the Lord here is he repented for this, and it shall not be, saith the Lord. In response to the prophet's intercession, the Lord repents. Now, I want you to understand this. The Lord's not repenting of sin because the Lord has no sin. When we use the word repent here, we're literally meaning the Lord turned from what he was going to do, and he eventually does it anyway, okay? But at that moment, he stops it. But I also want you to notice that forgiveness is not offered in this. The Lord stops, but he doesn't say, I'm going to forgive your sin. He just says he's repentant right here, and it shall not be right now, but he never said that he forgave their sin. Now, that's really important because in our worlds today, God is not forgiving the sins of other people because you ask. He only forgives sins if they believe and ask, right? You can't forgive anybody else's sins, and you can't pray hard enough. If we could pray to God and ask for him to save every single soul, and our prayer would save them, then it wouldn't be the prayer of faith for them. It wouldn't work that way. And so you can ask for it, but forgiveness can't be granted unless those individual people respond. Genesis, we know that Abraham prayed that God would stay his hand from Sodom and Gomorrah for the righteous folks there, for the just folks there, and God listened. What I want you to be very, very clear of, the prayer of faith in James 5:16, a portion of which is on our prayer list, when we make intercessory prayer to God, there's a couple of parts of that, and we've been talking about prayer in the morning service, but there's a couple of parts of that are really important that Amos sees, and he's going to show us again, as we've read, he's going to show us again in verse 6, but watch this. This is so important. The first part of this intercessory prayer is Amos knew that God had done it before. He had faith. He trusted that God could do it. I never pray for God to do anything that I don't think God can do. It's pointless. It's pointless to ask for somebody for something that you know they don't have. I know 100% without a doubt that if I go and ask my cousin Jason for $20, that I'm not gonna get it because he ain't got $20. I just know that about him. But watch. Amos knew that God could do it because he's done it before. But number two there, you see that Amos calls for the Lord to repent. And so Amos believed that his prayer, and this is where I think that Christians really need to dig in, he believed that his prayer had power with God. He believed that his prayer could be heard from God. I love the story, I preach it all the time, about Jacob holding on to God and saying, I will not let go until thee bless me. And then God says, because thou hast done this, thou have power with God and with man. We in our prayer lives, as Amos saw here, he believed that not only God has done it before so he could do it again, but that his specific intercessory prayer could get it done. I'm going to prove it out again here in a moment. But he believed that his prayer would work. Sometimes we have the words of prayers, but we don't have the power for the prayer because we don't really believe it. We say it, but we don't really have that fervent prayer, as James 5:16, the prayer of faith that we really need in response to God and letting God know that we believe that God, it's not that God will, it is and it isn't. The hardest thing to explain is this. God can change his mind, but God already knew that his mind would be changed. Trying to like wrap your mind around that is like impossibly, incredibly hard. But we see it through the Bible that it's absolutely possible. If God didn't want to hear our prayers, he also knows if you're going to pray the prayer before you pray the prayer. And so if God didn't want to hear our prayers, then he wouldn't have put it in his word that he wants us to pray. And so God wants you to ask because he wants you to prove to him that you believe that he can. Because God's all about faith. It's impossible to please God without, oh man, it's Wednesday night, but I need you to help me out here. It's impossible to please God without. So even in your prayer life, if you don't believe it, then God isn't pleased with it. Well, God's not going to do something he's not pleased with. Why would he? He's God. He don't have to. And so you see Amos here in his prayer life that he certainly believes this. And the last part of that that's really important for us to see is, it shall not be, saith the Lord. Again, I certainly understand the words of Scripture, even so come Lord Jesus. And I'm only likening it because I believe it's important, but I pray all the time that God would stay his hand from the people so that more people could be saved. It doesn't say that I'm not supposed to be happy that Jesus is coming, and I certainly am, and I certainly will rejoice in that day when the Lord returns. But at the same time, I can pray and ask God to tarry a little bit and to tarry his coming so that more people can get saved. And there's nothing wrong with that because according to the word of God, God's not willing that any should perish. It only becomes wrong when you ask God to do it against his will. And inside of his will, if he's not willing, you can say, Lord, give us some more time. I pray this all the time for God, and it's not a prideful prayer. It's because I want to do something for the Lord, but I always pray to the Lord, Lord, let me live out a natural life. I want to do something for you here on earth. I'm 39 years old. I want to live until my 70s, until my 80s. I want to do something. I want to have time to serve you here on earth. Now, if the Lord comes, praise the Lord, I'll be in heaven. But I want to do something for Jesus here on earth. I want to be able to be in heaven with some crowns, man. I want to be able to be in heaven and be like, man, Lord, I was doing my very best out there for you. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And we see Amos here, he's able to stop the hand of God's judgment through his intercessory prayer. But verse 4, it says, thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep and did eat up a part. So the great deep here we believe to be the Mediterranean Sea. And you see that there's just a part that's devoured. That's a portion of the land. It's a portion of the land that was given to the Israelites. It is the promised land, and that it's going to be devoured with this great drought, which would obviously drastically eat up the vegetation and the ability to have good things to eat there. And so when we see this, it's devastating growth, and it's going to eat up or burn up everything that's growing on it, the second vision here. So in response to that vision, Amos once again goes to the Lord in prayer. Then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise, for he is small. He has gone back into that similar prayer. Jesus says you're not blessed for your much speaking, right? But what Jesus is talking about is vain, repetitious prayer. He's talking about things that have no heart behind them. They're just words. Anybody ever been to church where they have responsive readings? Yeah. There's nothing wrong with a responsive reading. But if there's no understanding behind it, you're just saying it, and it's done every week, it becomes vain repetition. What about where you recite the Lord's Prayer every single week? There's nothing wrong with it, but man, we said the Lord's Prayer every single week when I was growing up in the Methodist church. And I had no idea what I was talking about. I was just repeating what they told me. I was just saying stuff. I didn't understand what the kingdom was and the power and the glory and give us this day our daily bread. Nobody ever taught it for sure. They just said, get up and stand up and do this. Get up and say the Apostles' Creed. Okay, I'm saying stuff. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I told you. Half my life I thought I was Catholic. It says I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. I'm like, why are we at the Methodist Church? But I just told everybody I believed in the Holy Catholic Church. It don't make no sense at all. That's what it says. They never preached eternal security, but it says, I believe in the perseverance of the saints. And then as I got older, I'm like, people don't even believe that. They're just saying some stuff. It's vain repetition. This is not vain repetition. This is heartfelt prayer that Amos is giving as a real love for his people, as a real love for others. It's intercessory prayer. I'm not going to speak on it, but if I were going to, this would be awesome to see. But when you pray for other people, when you pray over these prayer lists, and I hope you do, I'm not talking about emotion. I'm talking about real intercessory, that you love your neighbor enough to pray over these names and to pour over these names. And if you know details, to spit the details out. And there's nothing wrong with doing that every single day. Certainly nothing wrong with it doing every single week. I realize I delete some of the names at the beginnings of the months or the end of the months so it doesn't get too big if I don't get an update. But you see here in the Bible that when there's a need to pray. Wherever there's a need for prayer. Because we shouldn't do anything without much prayer, without first speaking to God, without letting God know that not only is it important to us, but we know that it must be important to him, because look at verse 6. And the Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God. He turned away from judgment. He spared Israel again for a time, even though it was deserved judgment. And against Israel, God turned his judgment because, here, of Amos standing in the gap and praying for his people that God would spare them at this moment of time. Now, I'm only going through those first six verses because they're applicable to the rest of the chapter and to the rest of what goes on here in Amos. But what I want you to see tonight very, very, very clearly is this, that God has given Amos this prophetic vision. He's seen into the future, and he sees what's going on. And Amos knows the only way to stop it is for him to pray to God to stop it. I want you to think about this for a moment as we apply this to our lives. There are things that are going on in your life. There are things that are going on around you. There are things that go on to you. And you know that, you ever watch yourself running into a bad decision, or you ever watch somebody else running into a bad decision? You ever seen that? You know that somebody's about to make a mistake? Anybody ever seen that happening? Yeah, you've seen that happening. But the problem with us as human beings are, oftentimes, we try to stop it with our wisdom or with our might. We try to stop it with what we have rather than doing what Amos did and interceding with prayer. The Bible doesn't say that Amos ran out to the king, that Amos ran out into the streets and said, hey, he didn't Paul Revere and say the Assyrians are coming. Amos didn't go out and try to go grab a whole bunch of weapons. Amos didn't go out and try to do anything that was physical in nature. Amos went to the Lord twice here. He entreats God in the same visions, different visions, but I'm saying the same sort of visions, and he goes to God and he sees God respond. I think oftentimes in our lives, we see things about to happen and it's like a movie you've seen 100 times. You know what's about to happen, but you're still wondering if the outcome is going to change. When I was a little kid, man, I watched the Rocky movies 400 times. And for some reason, I would still be hanging on the edge of my seat like I didn't know that Rocky won. I was like, man, this is getting bad, man. What's going to happen to old Rock? Well, I already know what's going to happen to him. I've already seen what's going to happen. There's no reason to pray for that. But, man, I've seen so many people make bad decisions and so many people have things go on in their lives. And you watch it and you know what the outcome is going to be. I can tell you I know what the outcome is going to be for people who use drugs. Seen it. 100 times. I know what the outcome is going to be for people who get drunk. I've seen it. I know what the outcome is going to be for people who commit adultery. Watched it. I know what the outcome is going to be for people who refuse to get up and go to work on a daily basis. You're going to get fired, bro. Because it's a duh statement, right? But watch this. Let's put it back here. Amos has been seeing Israel's sins. He talked about it the first 6 chapters. He sees it going over and over and over again. Amos knows what the outcome is going to be, but Amos is trying to, watch, intercede, step in the middle, and stop it before it goes too far. Now, their sins have already gone too far. Notice they didn't get any forgiveness for it, but Amos is pleading for his people. He's standing in the gap. He's stepping into the middle to try and get God, and he does, to get God to at least spare them. You know what the greatest thing is that we have here on earth outside of Jesus Christ? It's called time. God's given us time. Right now, God has given us time to see more people saved. He's sparing us right now so that we can intercede. At minimum, you know, hopefully you get out and witness. Hopefully you get out and knock doors. Hopefully you preach Jesus. But at minimum, you pray that God's deserved judgment that will come to the world, that he'll spare it for a period of time, because time is a gift. Time is an opportunity, right? Time is something that none of us control. Time is speeding up and going faster and faster and faster and faster and faster, it seems. We don't have control over time, but we do have power with the one who does. That's an important part of what Amos is talking about. And as we go on, I don't want to get too far ahead, but as we go on, starting with verse 7, there's going to be some things that happen here in these next couple of weeks, and you'll see some familiar kings' names and folks' names from the Old Testament, and that's why the minor prophets are so key to study, because it's hard for you to get Chronicles, it's hard for you to get Kings without understanding some of these things that the prophets who lived in those days are speaking of and prophesying of, and the things that go on there. So this is what we're looking at tonight, but let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight, and we will ask that God would intercede. If there's someone who needs to be interceded for tonight in your life, in your family, we will just have a couple of songs here played, and we'll look forward to how God would answer our prayers tonight. So, Father, we pray tonight that you would clearly give us understanding of your word as we continue through this. Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight to see our need, not only for our own personal salvation, but for the salvation of others and for the help and the attention, the care that we can give to those around us. And Lord, that prayer is the absolute power that we have through you, not our physical might, not our earthly wisdom, but Lord, you. So tonight, Father, I just pray that if there's folks in the room tonight that say, I just want to talk to the Lord for a moment as we have continued to go through in series of prayer and talking about prayer, that if tonight would be a night that they need to just talk to you, that they would do that here tonight. For those folks in the room, Lord, there may be one that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior. They may not know that their sins are forgiven. As Amos prayed, God repented of devastating judgment, but he did not forgive their sins. Lord, tonight maybe there's one that needs that forgiveness, that needs to avoid eternal damnation and judgment and hell's fires. Tonight they would say, Lord, I need a Savior. Forgive me of my sins and save my soul. Help me to live for you. I repent. I turn away from evil and turn towards you. One here like that tonight, then tonight would you make that known to the Lord? Would you make that known with your mouth, confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart? Father, we thank you tonight for what you've done and what you're doing, how you're working in us and through us. And Lord, we'll just take the next few minutes here, Lord, to talk to you in prayer.